children's day. And we talk a lot about not allowing the traditions of men to mess up God's stuff, right? But today, as a nation, we celebrate it as National Children's Day. But what does being a child of God mean to us? So God told me this week, I have studied for hours and hours and hours over the last 2 months about this, and I have come up with no notes. And I'm just really thinking, Lord, I should have notes. I should have a presentation. I should have all this stuff. And God said, well, start at the beginning. And I went, what? Well, start at the beginning. So, I'm 36. 36 years ago, my mom and dad had me. 36 years ago, I was the first child, and the first child gets named after, guess what? The father. So, my name is Stephanie Ray. My dad's name, if you haven't figured this out, is Stephen Ray. My mom called me Stevie till I was 13, which was cool until the new pastor's oldest son's name was Stevie. And then it was not cool because I was 13 and I did not want to have the same name as a boy. But what's neat about this, God said start at the beginning, and at a very young age, and my mom still does it, I didn't even pay attention today. My mom used to always get me little charms with my name on it. And when I was little, she got me a little charm for my lapel that said Stephanie, and it means crowned one. So Stephanie, if you look at the root word of it, Stephanie or Stephen, means crowned one. Ray is of the king's house. Or child. And the child may be. Oops, I didn't give it. Guess what? I have a blind spot. I thought there was a space there. So my name means crown child of the king. And I realize not everybody has that name, but this is where God told me to start this morning and explain my relationship with my Heavenly Father. At a very young age, before I ever got sick, before I ever had brothers and sisters that I remember playing with, I knew that my name meant that I was God's child. And I would tell people, I talked very, very early, I would tell people that my dad was a king. My daddy owned the whole world. I still tell people this, and they still laugh at me, and they still humor me, and they still kind of shake their head going, I know your dad, and he's a printer. You know, my earthly father is a printer. My earthly father has been a teacher. And those things are valid and really good. But my heavenly father owns the whole world. My heavenly father has no limitations. So when he says, ask me for this. I want to give it to you. Oftentimes, I get laughed at when I say, well, God, you know, God's told me to ask him for this. And, well, so I do. So we live in a home that God told me to ask him for. Ask me for a 3-bedroom house. I have one for you. And at the time, I was like, well, what are we going to do with the house we're in? And I said, I don't know. I just want to be obedient to God. And he has told me to ask him. And I know that my dad is the king, and he owns the whole world, the vastness of everything he owns. And there's no limitation. There's no limitation in his blessings for me. There's no limitations in his blessings for our finances, for our children, for my health, for my husband's back. I believe that it will be blessed and healed soon. He's been moving stiff for a few days. There's no limitation. And I learned that at a very, very young age. And as I'm sharing this, I realize not everybody is going to be named after their dad. Not everybody will know the meaning of their name, or even think it's cool, because some people, the meanings of your name, if you search it out, it may not be of the revelation that mine was to me at such a young age. So I felt like I was supposed to start with that. But today we're going to talk about what being a child of God means and what it meant to Jesus. So if everybody could turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And I cheated. I wrote it down. I was actually asked to be one of the speakers for Mother's Day, and this is the verse that God put on my heart, verse 14. And I really questioned it. It was how I could make it into a Mother's Day message. Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. I thought, okay. We could talk about obedience, because every mother wants an obedient child, right? Every father wants an obedient child. But then I thought, wait a minute, if I have to twist God's word, then maybe I'm missing something. And maybe it's not for today. And God told me that we needed to talk about being a child of God, and it's not just about obedience, but it's about what it means to Him. We need to know what we mean to Him and how important it is that we come to Him. So last week in the nursery, Darren was my helper, and I got the speaker to work. And last week, I know that you guys talked about being sons of God out of Galatians. And as I was listening, I said, oh, good, Darren, I'm going to be speaking next week. And he said, oh, so you don't want to repeat the same thing? I said, no, that's not it. I want to make sure that what God's given to me out of Mark and out of Matthew and out of Luke, that it goes along with and that it builds upon. So in Mark 10, verse 13, it says, and they brought young children to him that he should put his hands on them, and his disciples reached out and rebuked those that brought them. When Jesus saw, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, who shall not receive the kingdom as a little child, shall not enter in. And he took them, I'm going to read verse 16, and he took them in his arms, and put his hands on them, and blessed them. And this is the verse that God gave me 2 months ago before Mother's Day, was verse 14. Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. And I questioned, why little children? Why not adolescent? What we would call adolescent. Why not teenagers? I'm a mom of teenagers. I know why. You know, teenagers have an opinion and they're not afraid to share it with you. 6 and 7 year olds have an opinion and they're not afraid to not share it with you. They're comfortable in voicing their opinion and speaking what it's like. Little children, infants. I hear Corey over there. No, don't apologize. Because what I learned in verse 13 was the disciples had their own agenda. They were with Jesus. They were seeing people healed. They were hearing the word taught in a different way than ever before. It was coming alive to them. The Messiah had come, and they did not want anything to get in the way. And here you have mamas who are also seeing this. And it doesn't specifically even say mamas or their fathers. It just says the children were brought to them. And Jesus, that word, when he said, when it says he rebuked them, he was indignant with them. He was so upset. Don't you see? You cannot stop them from me. You can't withhold them from me. The disciples had their own opinion. The disciples had their own agenda and what they thought it should look like, that Jesus should only heal those who needed it. Maybe these babies weren't even sick. Maybe these babies weren't fussy. Maybe it was just the moms wanting. This word infant is padion, and it specifically says an infant or one recently born. So these were little bitty kids. These were babies. These were this age. I mean, Corianne, we just bless you right now. Jesus put his disciples in their place. He said, wait a minute. You cannot stop them. You have to let them come. It was a forceful, just stop right now. You have to let them come because of such is the kingdom of heaven. The vastness of the universe, everything they wanted, everything they were seeing coming to pass, the prophecy of the Messiah, the hope of the coming King, everything they were wanting, they were seeing it. They had hope in Jesus. They knew he was the Messiah. They didn't want anything to mess it up. And Jesus stopped them in their tracks and said, no, unless you have to let them come, you cannot forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. And he even went on to say, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive a child, receive the kingdom as a little child, shall not enter therein. So I go back to the difference between an infant and a Hunter. Can I pick on you? Can I pick on you? When Hunter was little, he would try anything. Hunter, will you try anything now? No. For those of you who didn't see it, Hunter will not try just anything as far as food goes. He might try it if it looks like a fun, exciting, let's jump off the house kind of thing. That kind of stuff he would be adventurous and want to try. A little person will try anything. They trust you. Their love for you is unconditional. As a parent, it is, or even I have the privilege to watch several of our little people that come to church. I have a privilege. They just want to be near me. It doesn't matter what I try to feed them. And granted, some things they'll like better than others, but they just trust me. And it's undefiled. It's not messed up until I mess it up. And here's the thing. We think that God's going to mess things up for us. He won't. He doesn't. We look to our earthly fathers as the example of what our heavenly father will be. But we can't do that because our heavenly father has not disappointed us. Our heavenly father has sacrificed for us. Our heavenly father has made all of the riches of his kingdom available, but we have to come with the right heart. We have to come as a little child. My oldest son will be 18 this year, this month. And when he was little, we were the youth leaders, and we had a very tall helper. Jordan was 6'5", and I've heard as an adult he's grown 2 more inches. He is now 6'7". But he would stand right here, probably as tall as I am now, and he'd throw Andrew. And he'd throw Andrew, and Andrew's 5, and Andrew just loved it, and it was great. Until one day, Jordan missed. And I'm sitting right there, and I see my kid bounce off the cement, and it was a little bit scary. Andrew never quite wanted Jordan to throw him up again. God's not going to drop us. He hasn't dropped us, and he won't. He doesn't plan on it. He sent his son that we might have life more abundantly. He gave that sacrifice for us. He has provided a way for us to be with him. And, yes, unlike humans, he won't drop us. In 1 John 3:1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. That word sons means technon. It's a child or a daughter, somebody little. God wants us to have that intimate relationship with him. As a child, knowing, I should have left it up there, knowing the meaning of my name, God showed me what that meant. I didn't plan on sharing this. Many of you know I've had several heart surgeries, a handful actually. The first one was when I was 6. And I knew at that age my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I knew at that age I was going to be safe because I could see myself sitting on Father God's lap. And his arms were around me. And the adults in my life, it's a really scary thing when your little person is going through stuff. It may even be scarier when the little person is at peace with what's going on because they have that intimate relationship with God. I knew that I was sitting on God's lap. I hadn't fallen off. I hadn't slipped down. He was holding me. And I'm here 30 years later, and he's still holding me as his child. And he loves me, and I know that. I know that with all of my heart that he loves me, and I can't compare his love to anything my dad, my earthly dad has done, or my earthly mom, or grandparents, or aunts, or uncles, or friends. Oftentimes, we don't always use the mind of Christ when we're dealing with people, even as parents. We mess up, but God doesn't. Last week in Galatians 3:26, for ye are the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you don't know that you are a child of God right now, if you don't have that intimate relationship, that feeling of security with him, here's the hope in all of it. We can have faith in Christ Jesus. Faith is conviction of the truth of anything relating to God. It's faith that he is the creator. And relating to Jesus, it's the faith that Jesus is the Messiah. He did come so that we might have life and more abundantly. Even Jesus knew his relationship with his Father. In John 7:28-29, he's speaking to his disciples. He says, you know me, and I know where I came from, and I have not come of myself. He who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Jesus knew where he was from. Jesus knew that it might be hard, but he also knew that God was with him and that he wasn't going to leave him. Goodness. So, really, all my hours and hours of study, Lord, I continue to come to you. Lord, I know there's more. Lord, I just ask that through your word we would learn to become sons and daughters of God. We would learn how passionate you are about that. Lord, that you would not allow anyone to come in between us. Lord, I just ask that you would continue to speak here this morning. My husband is laughing at me. He knows the hours of study. My heart this morning is that we would know that we are children of God, and we would know that Jesus is our defender, and that he won't let anything come in between us and who we are in him. It's through him that we have a relationship with God the Father. It's through him that we have peace. Yes, Cindy. Absolutely. I think my husband is going to continue for me. Good, because God did not give me very much to share, and I'm just, it's not for lack of study, so I'm excited to hear how he finishes it.